you judge others, you're judging yourself. So that's a dangerous thing. So man has no right to judge. The spiritual man does have a right to judge and should have discernment to judge. And we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is, of course, the Word of God, the renewed mind of Jesus Christ, renewed by the Word of God. If a person doesn't have that, they shouldn't be doing any judging. Right? So, a lot of people judge and don't have good common sense. And when I say common sense, I guess I should say uncommon sense, okay? They don't have good uncommon sense, which comes by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. And many people think they know the Word of God and they judge by what they think they know, and they're wrong, right? It's because they don't have the unction of the Spirit to do that. They're not sent of the Spirit to do that. They're not doing it in the name of Jesus, right? So if you're going to err on any side, err on the side of not judging at all, rather than making a mistake concerning this. Right? We have to make many judgments concerning our own life and ourselves. Right? And the Bible says if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. So if you're going to be quick to judge anybody, be quick to judge yourself. And so you won't be judged. And I might say that that's not a command to get under condemnation, you know, but just be quicker to judge yourself than other people, because it's kind of dangerous to let the old man do the judging, right? Again, we are about to come upon our American Voice Radio broadcast in the middle of this broadcast. We're going to continue on with Spirit One Radio, Pastor Bob, and American Liberty Radio. And Pastor Bob is broadcasting our whole program. American Voice Radio is about to break in and broadcast a one-hour program here beginning at 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. So if you hear a lot of interruption here, that's what's happening. Okay? We don't know how this happened, but it seems like there's got to be a better way, so pray for us. But American Voice Radio is sending us out on a complimentary group of people they're broadcasting to, complimentary to Spirit One. And so this is good, folks. We're getting out there further and further by the grace of God. And the Word of God is getting out. We praise God for that. So we're getting prepared here to receive a call from Frank Stephan, American Voice Radio. And we may be quiet here just for a minute to make sure that we're getting connected right.
Someone posted on there that it was interesting that the two recent earthquakes
mm-hmm.
were both the day after Christmas and Easter.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of people noticed that. What do you think God is saying here? Is He honoring those days or what?
I don't think so.
It doesn't appear to be. Obviously, those days don't really have anything to do with Christianity. They had a lot to do with merging paganism and Christianity. I hope that doesn't offend you, but if it does, you need to go and look it up for yourself. I did. Back when I was a baby Christian, I went to the library and I did some research and I found out, lo and behold, this stuff don't have nothing to do with true Christianity. It was merged in by, mostly by what we now call the Catholic Church. So,
one was natural birth and one was the death, spiritual. Does that have anything to do with it?
It could be the Lord showing us some a type and a symbol there, huh? But you know what? God is going to judge all the gods of Babylon. He's going to shake everything that can be shaken. And people who are able to judge the Lord's signs out there, they're going to depart from their Babylonish thinking and apostate ways. It didn't take me long, folks, when I realized that I was going the wrong way in Catholicism, to do a little bit of research. And I was a baby Christian, but I realized very quickly that this was not of God, that these were false observations. And had nothing to do with the birth of Jesus, which he didn't tell us to celebrate in the first place. Actually, he told us to celebrate his death. Did you ever notice that? And so why are we doing what we're not supposed to do and not doing what we should do? You know? It's funny, but religion has a habit of doing that. And resurrection life is something we're supposed to celebrate every day, folks. We're warned by Paul about keeping days and months and seasons and years as people who go back under the law and are sons of the handmaid.
Oh, there's the phone.
Hello. Hey, Frank, God bless you. Pretty good. I'm sorry I had my phone turned off, but I happened to hear a ring from the other room. God bless you, brethren. We're so glad you're joining us today. We love you. We've been praying for you that the Lord would help you to grow up in Him and be blessed with the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all those good things. Give you eyes to see and ears to hear, and that God would really bless you, and that the Lord would bless us to be able to bless you. You know, we really can do nothing without the Lord. But we can do all things through the Lord. And we do trust Him to move through us and to minister to you and to bless you. And been thinking here lately. I've been saying for some time that I felt like America was about to get spanked again. Kind of like 9-1-1. Been saying that for a few months now. And in fact, I felt like the Lord showed me that there was coming a more than something like 9-1-1, but more so maybe a strike on many different places in the United States. And that actually the terrorists are holding back because they want to make one dramatic hit, and so that they're not cut off by smaller hits, you know, by the government reining them in or going after them or whatever. And I've been feeling this, that something like this is coming. And it's kind of interesting that, first of all, I want to tell you that that the Lord is working all things together for our good, including these chastenings. It is so sad for me to see so many people miss out on the benefits of the instruction of God that they would receive if they understood that things like 9-1-1 come from God. So many people are distracted, you know, thinking about the Illuminati and the government conspiracies. But folks, they're not running this world. Our Lord God is sovereign. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. They're not running this world. God is. And He's working all things together for our good, including what's happening concerning these terrorist attacks and things. I got, in the past week, some things that kind of confirmed what I've been saying for some months now. I want to share with you a little piece of a message by a man by the name of Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj. He is a prophet from India. Isn't it amazing that the Lord used to send out people from the States to these nations to raise up disciples unto Christ, but now God is having to send people over here to raise up disciples unto Christ because America is so apostate, so backslidden in her religious ways. And, you know, folks, let me say this. The average American Christian is believing that God is demanding America to repent. Let me tell you the truth of the matter is, God is demanding the Christians to repent. You know, it's a strong delusion to think that the Christians don't need to repent, but America needs to repent. First of all, God grants repentance. He granted repentance to Christians who came into the kingdom. He granted faith to them. They are the people that have the authority, that have the power, that have the understanding to repent. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Who's going to be beaten with many stripes? Him that knew to do good and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. But him that knew not and did things worthy of stripes will be beaten with few stripes. That lets you know, folks, that God is judging the Christians who won't do right more than anything. Read the Old Testament, folks. God was dealing with Israel. He was using the nations, but He was dealing with Israel. You don't spank somebody else's children, folks. That's wrath. That's not chastening. God is chastening His children, and in America, God's children better repent. Let me share a little bit of this message with you, and then I'm going to make a few comments. He preached this message in June of 2002, and he got a revelation from God in the middle of it. He said, "Don't you believe any of the false prophets who preached to you after 9/11 saying it was not the judgment of God? 2 days before 9/11 happened, a dear friend of mine, a very saintly prophet of God, was taken up in the Spirit to heaven. And while he stood before the presence of the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, called forth for a mighty, powerful angel. He came and stood before the Lord Jesus Christ, and a fiery torch was given to this angel. And as soon as the angel held the torch, he became inflamed, engulfed with fire, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And then the command was given to the angel, 'Go forth and cast this fire down upon the nations of the world.' And the angel and this prophet came down, and they stood in the mid-heavens. And the angel told him, 'Now see what happens.' And the angel took the fiery torch in his hand and cast down fires in several parts of the earth. And when the fires were thrown, the angel told him, 'From now onward there will be bombings, fires, destructions in many, many nations around the world.' That vision was given to this prophet on the 7th of September 2001, a few days before 9/11. On the 8th of September, when he was conducting a fasting and prayer meeting in his church, the same angel came and stood by his side again and repeated in his ear audibly, word for word, every event that he saw the previous day. And the angel commanded him, 'Now declare to your church everything that you saw and heard.' And with great fear and trembling, he shared what he saw and what he heard. And they all prayed. Several days later came the judgment upon America. It was not an ordinary terrorist attack. That was his opinion, but to me, everything's under the authority of the Lord. Even ordinary terrorist attacks, okay? But I'm going to read on. He says, if you read in the Old Testament, the five books of Moses, every time Israel would go astray from the commandments and the laws of God, the Bible says very clearly that God will turn her enemies against her. And boy, he did this constantly. God used the enemies of Israel to chasten them. 2 Samuel, I think, 7:14 says that he shall be to me a son, and I shall be to him a father, and if he commits sin, I will chasten him with the rod of the children of men. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 5 says, Ho, Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, the rod in whose hand is mine indignation. The Lord used the Assyrian beast to chasten Israel because Israel was in rebellion. And now history is repeating, folks. God is raising up a worldwide beast to bring apostate Christianity to their cross. And it's sad that so many Christians nowadays don't realize what God is doing. And they don't realize, they don't see the Lord back there behind the devil. They don't see the Lord as sovereign. And so they don't receive as a chastening from God many things that come upon them. That's sad. And they don't realize that when a judgment like this comes upon a nation, it's God. It's not the devil. He goes on to say, the hornets and the wild beasts will be let loose to come and to create havoc in the land of Israel among the Israelites. If God can do that to the chosen nation, the chosen people, how much more are you? Of course, he was speaking to America. Well, let me point out something to you, folks. America's been chosen for a work, too. No, America is an Israel of the New Testament in a way. Did you know that Jerusalem has USA right in the heart of it, right? Jerusalem, right? And it's a sign because USA was chosen to send the gospel to the world, just like in the Old Covenant, Israel was chosen. You want some proof of that? Well, let me tell you that Israel and the United States are the only two nations that have a 17-year war cycle. That's right. Every 17 years, they found in a period for Israel up until the time, I think, that the Assyrian beast finally conquered her. She was in a 17-year war cycle. Every 17 years, they found themselves in a war. Well, the same is true for America. Since the beginning up until 1982, when that series broke, America was also in a 17-year war cycle. So what is God saying here? There's evidently a parallel here between America and Israel. Okay, I wouldn't want to carry that too far, and I'm not carrying it too far. I'm just pointing out to you that Israel was a chosen nation, and America was a chosen nation too, but decided to go astray. Well, let me point out a couple of things to you. Number one, look in Amos. If you got your Bible, look in Amos. I love to look. It's nice to look, because then you can come back to it and you can make some marks there, right? In Amos chapter 3, in verse 6, it says, "Shall the trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall evil befall a city, and the Lord hath not done it?" Notice that. Shall evil befall a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Folks, the Lord is not saying that the devil wasn't the instrument through which judgment came. There was the death angel that came through Israel, but the Lord wouldn't permit the death angel, the destroyer, to enter into the houses of those who lived under the blood. Right? So the devil is on a short leash. The death angel is on a short leash, just like in the book of Job, for instance. Have you ever noticed? Go to the book of Job. Let me point something out to you here. In Job, in chapter 1, in verse 20, after Job had gone through great devastation in his family and in his livelihood and in his crops and everything, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his robe, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." Oh boy, that's awesome, isn't it? And worshipped. "And he said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In other words, he told the truth. And what was the truth there? That the Lord gave it, and the Lord took it away. Well, who was it that actually physically took it away? It was the devil. And the devil got permission every time. And I might say the devil got permission because he just hated Job. But you know, God's desire was, of course, to bless Job and to grant him repentance and to turn him from self-righteousness. Clearly what the Bible is saying further over in the book of Job, especially Elihu spoke to him and spoke the word of God to him about his self-righteousness. Then God took several chapters to correct Job for his self-righteousness, and he repented. Okay? So, but people say, well, yeah, but Job was a perfect and upright man, feared God, and turned away from evil, which God said himself. But you know, here's the truth, folks. The Bible's clear. He repented. And it's also clear that God calls the end from the beginning. He calls the things that be not as though they were. He speaks the end from the beginning. He calls us righteous when we walk by faith in Him. But He wants to bring us to that righteousness by manifestation and not just by faith. God acts in faith and He speaks faith. And when we walk under the blood, He speaks faith about us. But anyway, chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "But he answered his wife, and he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And in all this did not Job sin with his lips." Interesting that God is making it very plain that what Job said was right. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Can we receive evil from the hand of God? Well, of course. And I tell you that one thing that parents who love their children will do is they won't spare the rod to spoil the child. You know, if you take a stick and you go over there and hit your neighbor with the stick, that would be evil, right? But if you take that stick and you lay it to the breeches of your child who's in willful rebellion, you would say that's good. Well, isn't that using evil to do good? Using something that is normally evil to do good. Well, when God raised up nations, evil, unrepentant nations against Israel because of her rebellion, wasn't God using evil to do good? And what is God doing with America, folks? Is He not using evil to do good? What is the purpose of evil? Is there a purpose of evil that will prosper its own thing? Does evil prosper? No, listen to this. Behold, this is Isaiah 54 and 16. "Behold, I have craved the smith that bloweth the fire of the coals and bringeth forth a weapon for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy." There's the destroyer. The destroyer that passed through Israel, that God permitted to go into any house that wasn't walking under the blood. There's the destroyer. "And I have created the waster to destroy." You know that there are Christians, so-called Christians, that are not walking under the blood. Many in America are not walking under the blood. They're walking in willful disobedience. They're not walking under the blood. And you know what? God is threatening. He is warning. He is bringing judgment. He said, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. In every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn." Now, the way some people understand that is that nothing bad will ever happen to you. Well, that's foolish. Look at the disciples who followed Jesus. They were called Christians, and they really were Christians. And yet, they were killed for their faith. So what is he talking about here? That no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. See, evil does not prosper evil. The work of evil will not prosper evil. The work of evil is to prosper God's kingdom. You understand that if you sin and God turns you over to the rod of man, 2 Samuel 7 and 14, that that's not prospering evil. That's prospering good. Let me point out to you, Paul turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. What did evil prosper there? Evil? No. He prospered good. Why? Because this man was brought to repentance because the devil came down on him like a mad dog. And the man repented by 2 Corinthians and was accepted back into the kingdom, into the church. And Paul said to Timothy the same thing, that he turned Hymenaeus and Alexander over to Satan for the destruction, that they might be taught not to blaspheme. Excuse me. See, that's using evil for good. God knows just how to do this. In fact, He created the waster to destroy. Going back to Isaiah 45, He says, verse 7, "I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things." Now, folks, the judgments that are coming upon America are not primarily from the devil. They're primarily from God. And America had better repent, because worse is coming. Much worse is coming. You know, it says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 33, "For he doth not afflict willingly or from the heart, nor grieve the children of men, to crush underfoot all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause the Lord approveth not. Now listen carefully. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Listen to that carefully. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? You see, there is only one Lord and one sovereign. Even though the devil is called the god of this world, he doesn't run this world. The Lord runs this world. I beg to differ with a lot of people out there. He's called the god of this world because they worship him. They respect him. He loves religion. He's the god of Babylon. In the Bible twice, he's spoken to be the god of Babylon. He loves to be in religion. He loves to go to church. The people of the world respect the devil. They submit to him. That's why he's their god. But he's not ruling the world. Read the book of Job. He had to get permission concerning everything that had to do with Job. And that permission was given for a good purpose. The good purpose was to bring Job to repentance and to make him even more holy than what he was. He was a faithful man. He was doing what he knew, but there were things he needed to know. And he needed to repent before God. And God basically rebuked him himself for several chapters until he realized that he needed that repentance. And listen to what it says again. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? There could have been no 911, folks, without the Lord's command. Very clearly. Out of the mouth of the Most High cometh there not evil and good? You say, well, that would make God evil. No, it doesn't make God evil any more than it makes you evil if you spank your child in obedience to the Scripture. Hitting someone with a stick is evil. But it's using evil for good. And that's what God does. All through the Scriptures, that's what God does. You can't read the Old Testament one time without realizing that the major way that He chastened Israel when they went into sin was with the hand of evil. He raised up six major beast kingdoms to come against Israel to bring them to their cross when they were in rebellion. What's the alternative? Let them go on into hell. I'd say God's being merciful by raising up judgment against America to bring America to repentance. In fact, some people would say, well, that kind of makes God unjust. You know why they think that? Why they would consider God to be unjust to bring judgment upon America? Is because they think man is basically good and deserving of good. They don't understand the depravity of man and that justice would destroy the earth like it did in the days of Noah. Justice would do that. See, God is having mercy. He's not dealing out justice yet. We're coming to the day when God is going to deal out justice on this earth, and it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Some are going to get mercy and grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But you know what the rest of the people found? God's justice. You'll at least get from God justice. Some will get from God grace. Have faith in God so that you can have His grace and not His justice. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man, for the punishment of his sins? Lamentations 3 and 39. You see, we got no right to complain. We deserve far worse. America deserves far worse. They should fall at the mercy of God, you know, and cry out to the Lord that He doesn't give justice. Even so far, folks, we haven't received what the world deserves and what it got in the days of Noah. Now, we know what Jesus said. The days of the coming of the Son of Man would be like it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Listen, America deserves far worse. 911 was a judgment upon America. The Bible is very plain. In, for instance, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4. The Lord hath made everything for its own end, or his own purpose, it actually says. Even the wicked for the day of evil. See, God has a purpose for the wicked. God has vessels of honor, and he has vessels of dishonor. And he uses them both for his glory. It was vessels of dishonor that put our Lord on his cross. But God predestined that. Have you ever read that? Let me flip over to Acts. That just gives me an idea here. I'm going to read that to you so that you understand. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, even as you yourselves know, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you by the hands of lawless men did crucify and slay. Notice that. That Jesus was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge. In other words, he was predestined, same word. You by the hands of lawless men did crucify and slay, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death. Now, let me read it to you again. This is in Acts chapter 4, verse 27. For of a truth, in this city, against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass. Notice that the Lord foreordained to use Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the people of Israel, to crucify Jesus. Now, Jesus told us to take up our cross and follow him. Do you know that God will use the people of the world to crucify us too? In fact, if we'll cooperate with him in this process, we will go through this death, burial, and resurrection and come into the image of God as he planned. But many of God's people, they wrestle with flesh and blood. Instead of submitting to God's commands to resist not the evil, to love their enemy, to turn the other cheek, they resist God's plan and they don't come to this maturity that comes through crucifixion. The Lord is using the wicked around us to bring us to crucifixion. You say, well, God wouldn't do that. Well, he did it all through the Bible, folks. You're just not reading your Bible if you believe that. In Psalm 78, he talks about the judgments that came upon Israel. You know what? Verse 49 says, he cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble. A band of angels of evil. Actually, it says in the original, a sending of angels of evil. Interesting that God would send evil angels, fallen angels, demons, to bring anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble upon Israel because they wouldn't repent. Who was God interested in bringing to repentance here? The world or Israel? No, it was the call of God. Now, I want to tell you, in America, it's the same thing. There are a lot of self-righteous Christians saying, yeah, America needs to repent. But that's not the case, folks. America's never going to repent. And you know very well it's a broad road, and many that find it, and it's a narrow road that leads to life, and few there be that find it. America is never, ever going to repent. But I can tell you what, the called of God need to repent. That's who God's dealing with. So we need to give up this self-righteous idea that God's trying to get America to repent. America exists for you, the called of God. And it will be used of God to bring you to your cross. Matter of fact, America is the great eagle at the head of a one-world empire, folks, that's coming together even as we speak. And they will persecute the saints. The harlot of Babylon in Revelation. Babylon was the great eagle in Revelation 17, excuse me, in Ezekiel 17, the great eagle. The great eagle is America, folks. The great eagle is at the head of the nations right now. They will bring persecution against the saints. Get ready. You need to realize that you need to cooperate with God in this process of of crucifixion and resurrection. You need to cooperate with God. Now, I want to point out something else to you that that brother Sadhu Sundar Salvaraj continued on to say. You find that part in particular. Yes, here it is. He had a visitation from an angel. But as we were deeply worshiping the Lord, I saw the chief prince angel over the nation of the United States of America. He came and stood before me. I first began seeing chief prince angels of nations when I went to South Africa. That was the first time that I ever saw a chief prince angel that is in charge of overlooking the affairs of an entire nation. And he gave me a word concerning the nation, concerning the will of God, and what God's purpose is for that nation. From then onwards, for the many, many nations that I would go to, the respective angels of those nations would come to me and give me a word for the nation. What is God's word? What does God think about the nation? What has been happening in the nation, in the churches? And what is going to come to pass? So, when the angel of the United States of America came and stood before me, I tremble and quake every time I see an angel of a nation. I always tremble and quake in my heart because of the awesome anointing and authority that they have. And when he came and stood before me, he told me, an awesome judgment is going to come upon America very soon. An awesome judgment. Well, when was this? This was June of 2002 in St. Louis that he preached this message, okay? And when he spoke, I felt a fear, a godly fear, running through my bones and my spirit. This is not a judgment that would destroy the entire nation, although we have one pretty similar to that coming, folks, but something quite similar to what happened with the Twin Towers. But it can all be prevented if rivers of intercession flow in the nation. This is the word that he told me to speak. If rivers of intercession flow in the nation. And I saw that if you will take this seriously and pray, a huge river will flow throughout the center of your country. As the angel was speaking, I saw this huge white river flowing from the east to the west. If it flows as a river of tears and intercession, only that would prevent this judgment that would come. And then I saw this angel where he was positioned and where he was standing, guard over the United States of America. He was standing very near to where the Statue of Liberty is. A huge, gigantic angel. Well, you know, folks, if there is this great crying out in repentance of the Christians. America's never going to do this. If there is this great crying out, God always offers this repentance to delay judgment. Some people have the idea that judgment can all be delayed. Of course, it won't be. And it shouldn't be. The Bible says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Solomon said that in Ecclesiastes. And it's kind of like a child. If you don't spank that child, you don't give them a reason to turn away from their sins, they will get more and more rebellious, they will get more and more spoiled, and more stubborn. So in some ways, when God delays judgment, it hardens some people's heart. There are some reasons, some good reasons for delaying judgment. And that is that there are some people that we have all prayed for that have yet to come into the kingdom. Well, judgment is one of the methods that God uses to bring people into the kingdom. But judgment doesn't have to fall on the people and take them away before they repent. And I believe that God, I'm not sure that God will delay this judgment at all. He doesn't have to, because he's the one that grants repentance himself. So, but I do ask that you pray and seek God and ask him to protect the people of God through this, because we want to learn lessons. We don't want to be taken away in the midst of our foolishness, do we? We want to learn lessons. And we want God to do what He promised to do, by the way, in Isaiah. And that is that He will move the righteous aside and bring the wicked in their stead. A great judgment was threatened by that angel in 2002. Of course, that was after September the 11th. He said again that it wasn't the kind of judgment that would take America away. We know that that kind is still coming. And frankly, I don't believe that's going to be delayed. I will tell you one day how the Lord told me that it wouldn't be delayed. And in Amos chapter 7, He pronounced three judgments. The first two were delayed, and the third one was not. And I believe that America's already had two of those judgments. Let me share with you something else that confirms what I said earlier, that I felt like there is a great judgment coming, that it will be in several cities, maybe many cities, that it will come from, I believe, from an internal attack. This is a prophecy given by Olivia Long, and I've received other prophecies from her. They seem pretty good. Seem pretty accurate. First she says, God has shown me the years from 2005 through 2012 and the subsequent results from those years, events for 2013 and 2014. Well, I'll tell you, that's pretty amazing, because I've been saying that from 2006 to 2014 could very well be the tribulation period and the most critical years of judgment that are coming upon the world. And she's basically pointing out the year before the years that I pointed out, 1 year, 2005. Well, I've also pointed out that the Lord has shown me that America is going to continue to wreak havoc in the Middle East, in the same nations, by the way, that Babylon did. If you read Jeremiah chapter 25, you read the story of Babylon conquering what now are those Muslim nations in the Middle East. Babylon, of course, was Iraq. Well, now, folks, guess who's the king of Babylon? That's right. We have conquered Iraq. And now are spreading out to fight with the nations around Iraq, which is basically what happened with Babylon in Jeremiah 25. She conquered those nations. Okay? And before the tribulation, America is going to basically force the world into a one-world order in an attempt to protect herself, because she has trampled down many Middle Eastern nations. In Jeremiah 25, those nations were, you know, Jordan, Syria, Iran, Lebanon, Israel. That's right. Those nations were all conquered by the king of Babylon. Syria. I don't know if I mentioned Syria. And these are the nations that America is threatening right now. And one way or the other, these nations will be conquered. Because history repeats, the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. The great eagle, God called Babylon the great eagle. The great eagle conquered those Middle Eastern nations. But that wasn't the end of the story. Those nations rose up and conquered her. Babylon of old created a one world empire to protect themselves against any nation that would threaten her. And Babylon of old was the eagle at the head of the nations. The image of the beast, folks, in Daniel chapter 3. At the head of that image of the beast of all nations, all world ruling nations, was, that's right, the great eagle, Babylon. And they were the ones who commanded the saints of those days to bow down to the image of the beast. Be careful when you pledge your allegiance to America, folks. I want to tell you the truth. We have allegiance to no one but God. The saints of old have given their lives and refused to pledge allegiance to any earthly king. Be careful that you don't be so foolish. Because before the 2006 to 2014 time period, America is going to be at war again. America is going to get hit again. That's my feeling. And one reason America is going to be forced into subjugating those nations is because they're going to keep getting hit. And God is using this. He's using this to chasten those nations because they are persecuting and killing Jews and Christians around the world. But there is another purpose. God is the one who's raising up a one world beast kingdom to come against Christianity, just like he did Judaism. He's raising up a one world beast kingdom because now he has a one world kingdom of his own, Christianity. Six beast kingdoms, major beast kingdoms, many, many lesser beast kingdoms, but six major beast kingdoms were raised up by God. He admitted it. He confessed to it. to chasten Israel and bring her to repentance. And now, since spiritual New Testament Israel of the heart, those who are circumcised in heart and not in flesh, those who are Israelites in spirit and not in the flesh, God is raising up a beast kingdom to bring His people, His New Testament people, to their cross and crucifixion. And I want to tell you that I believe in 2005 we probably are going to get hit again. And that America will go to war again. And soon, they will bring the draft back, folks. Because America's going to have more trouble than they know what to do with. Well, let me tell you what Olivia said after the Lord showed her these years. Judgment in these years from 2005 to 2014. First of all, she said, these are the most critical years in the end time scenario. Everything is definitely upon us, even now. It's right on our doorstep, and we have stepped over the threshold and into the thick of things. And she said, before the year is over, and she says the year she's talking about here is the calendar is the Hebrew calendar year of 2005, which is September the 16th, 2004, through October the 3rd of 2005. She said, before this year is over, Al-Qaeda will strike from within the USA. Now she makes an adjustment here. She says, when Father would speak of this attack from within, I would hear Allah associated with the attack. And always I sensed it was the aforementioned group. And it well could be. But I was typing this and I was shown that Allah could serve as a term for a false god, which could fit numerous other key groups in this country whose sole agenda is to strike a crippling blow to this country because of their own false god agendas. In any event, the attack will come, and most definitely the attacks, plural, will come from within our own borders. Large or key cities and or key areas all over the country will be hit. This is one of the events for the Hebrew calendar year of 2005. And Father said, I could share this one event now of all the ones that He has shown me for all the years mentioned. She saw many things and has shared a few of them, but she was given this to share. Now, this is kind of what I've been seeing, is that there's going to be an attack that's going to be a dramatic attack. They want to make a point. They want to make it before they're made war on in the United States. They want to get it all done at one time. And like said who said, it's possible, God always offers this, whether it happens or not, that people will cry out to God for a revival, that God will delay this. I want to tell you that these things will happen. The fall of America will happen. It is prophesied in the Scripture. The fall of America as we know it will happen. It is prophesied in the Scriptures. And the Bible says, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Though things may be delayed, that doesn't mean they're deleted. Right? So these things will happen. And America will continue to trample down nations in the Middle East and will, for its own protection, raise up a one world empire. They will be at the very root of raising up this one world empire to protect themselves. And I might add too, folks, I know a lot of you who have basically pushed America to go over there and do this thing, that it's all coming back home, folks. It's all coming back home. And because after Babylon conquered those nations, they rose up and conquered her. And so it's coming down the road. By the way, she did point out that she believed that Michael Boldia's dream, who is Dmitry Dudeman's grandson, his dream concerning the eagle and the serpents, she felt like it had to do with her dream. And I'll just read it to you very quickly. It says, I dreamt I was walking through a sparsely wooded forest. Suddenly my attention was drawn to an eagle flying high above the tree line. It was a beautiful sight to behold as the eagle rode the thermals, flying in low, lazy arcs across the blue sky. I began to quicken my pace and keep up with the eagle's flight, and all the while keeping an eye on it, noticing that it was slowly descending towards the earth. I followed it for a long time. Its descent was not all of a sudden, but very gradual. I'll tell you, I believe that this is speaking of America's fall from grace, their position in the heavens, their place of safety, down to the earth where they are not safe and eventually will be trampled under the feet of the nations. Michael goes on to say, finally, I came upon a small clearing where there were no trees, just some bushes on the edge of the green grass. The eagle landed in the clearing and began to look around, not seeming to notice me. As I began to wonder what the relevance of this was, a man dressed in white, hands clasped in front of him, appeared beside me and said, "Be patient. In due time, you will see the purpose." I was silent as I watched the eagle and was beginning to grow somewhat impatient when suddenly it seemed that out of nowhere a brown snake lunged at the eagle and bit down on its left wing. The snake's strike was very quick and very precise. Now, what we're going to learn in just a minute is that this man in white is going to tell him that this was 911. This snake that lunged at the eagle and took out its left wing. The eagle reacted without delay, clawing and pecking at the snake, cutting deep wounds in its underbelly, trying to defend itself and ward off the serpent. Just as it seemed that the eagle was winning the battle, the serpent was retreating. That was 911. Then he goes on to say, another serpent appeared, red and black diagonal stripes covering its body, and without hesitation struck out at the eagle's right wing, biting down and refusing to release. Of course, that's the next attack, as we're going to see in a moment. Okay, that's the next attack, the one we haven't seen yet. And after a momentary tug of war, the serpent tore off flesh and feathers, leaving a large wound on the eagle's right wing. The second bite was much worse than the first. Notice that this next attack will be far worse. Kind of like the angel told Sadhu. And for an instant, the eagle was stunned. Then a serpent much larger than the previous two, made up of many colors. Now, I'll tell you what I think this is. I think it's the ten kings that destroy the harlot who rides the top of the beast, right? Many colors. Much larger than the previous two. Slithered toward the eagle, opened its jaws and lunged, taking the whole of the eagle's head in its mouth before biting down. Did you know that the enemies of America have practiced taking out the government before making a nuclear attack on America? Because if they did that, who would fire back? I mean, who's handling the nuclear buttons, folks? They have practiced this for many, many years, that this was a part of their plan. We've had defectors from Russia, for instance, who have told of this story. Okay? And here you have basically a decapitation of the government of the eagle, which is his head, right? I just say that for just in case you pick up anything from that.